The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1067. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The College Sport Act drama has built again, and so much so that rivals have joined sides. It's Monday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yes, welcome in. Welcome in to the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here on this July 6th. My goodness, it feels like just a couple of days ago we were halfway through June, and now we're already a week into July. Time just continues to fly by, and it flies by when you're having a good time, and that's what we're going to have here this afternoon. Hopefully everybody had a very happy and very safe 4th of July. Hopefully everybody can still wiggle all 10 toes, wiggle all 10 fingers here this afternoon. And appreciate everybody for being here with us on the ESPN 106.7 on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio, and we mentioned it, a very fun show we have for you here this afternoon. We're in the heart of talking season, yet it feels like every single day there is a little bit of breaking news, whether that's with Auburn, whether that's just in the sports world, and that's what we are diving into here this afternoon. And I welcome in my man Trip Upton, sitting across from me in the studio, looking a little tanner, looking a little more sunburnt, not quite lobster-esque, but hopefully a nice little tan will come out of it. How we have a happy 4th of July. Hopefully all was well with your little beach trip.
Yes, it was fantastic. Good to see family. Good to be out in the Carolinas down in near Beaufort at Fripp Island. And it's always good to go back there. I am, as Christian said, a little sunburnt. My shoulders are a lot worse right now. But we applied aloe early, and it was not the lack of putting sunscreen on, the lack of preparation. It was the lack of reapplication.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
That'll always
so the
get
first
you.
Step was always there. It's just like flags in college football. It's not the first person that gets drawn the flag. It's the person that reciprocates. Yeah, it's the person that reacts to it.
Yeah, but it was good. We were out in the ocean. Didn't do as much boogie boarding as I'd like to, honestly.
I can see you being a great skimboarder.
I've never skimboarded.
Really?
I think I've tried, and it's not hard. I loved a good boogie board when I was a kid. I'd be out there for like 3-4 hours a day just getting absolutely destroyed by the waves because, I mean, again, you have to realize that 90 pounds soaking wet, if even Trip Upton, going out in the waves, like I was getting like the second that any wave more than moderate size would just flip me over. But that was the fun part, you know? Yes. Did I get water up my nose? Absolutely, yes. And did that stink? Yes, but it was fun. So didn't do much of that, but did some kite flying, did some good seafood eating. It was a time to be had. How about yourself? How was your 4th of July?
Yeah, it was nice. Being able to stay home, see some family, not only my family, but my family's family. And so I guess my family, but see some aunts and uncles that I haven't seen in quite some time. Be able to hang out with them for a little bit. Yeah, it was. It was a very fun time. And again, all 20 phalanges. Is that the right word for them? I think that's your fingers, maybe. I don't know. Regardless, that's well beyond.
Yep, I think that's right.
Well, is that correct?
It's your digital bones located in the hand or feet. It's 14 in each hand and 14 in each foot for the bones. Like each knuckle.
I don't know about all that.
So you have 56, actually. Each finger and toe contains 3. Except for the thumb and big toe, which only have 2.
Well, we will say it confidently and very happy.
We might need President Eric to give us a medical demonstration or something.
Honestly, that's the way to go about it. No, but we do appreciate everybody for being here with us. We're going to have a fun time here on the show here this afternoon. We mentioned it, that there is more drama in the College Sports Act. And we talked a little bit about that a while ago. We will rediscuss that, invite you into everything that that entails. We're also going to talk about the NCAA president, Charlie Baker, because he had some quotes backing the College Sports Act. And as I'm sure many of you have seen here this afternoon, Auburn and Alabama, the two biggest universities in the state, have come together to form a pact, to form a unity, saying we do not support the current state of the College Sports Act. And so when Auburn and Alabama agree on something, you know that there's going to be a big-time reason, or there has to be a big-time reason for it. We will be able to dive into a lot of that here this afternoon in our number one. But we also get to start with the SEC Media Days outline, because it feels like the excitement continues to be built, because we're 2 weeks away from the start of SEC Media Days 2026, where yours truly will be there in Tampa, Florida, covering all 16 teams. We're still going to have our show every single day from 2 to 4, but being able to have a lot of fun covering everything, all of the biggest sports news. And you never know, I may piss Kirby Smart off again, since that's apparently what I did last year. Not even meaning so, but it was cool to see my question for him up in Jordan-Hare Stadium until he commented about it in the post game.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll just find a new coach to make mad here this year. But really, really excited for that. And so wanted to give a little bit more of the outline to what that's going to look like. Not necessarily for our show, but to revisit what every single day is going to look like. Some of the biggest storylines that will be talked about, and obviously the College Sports Act being one of those conversations. And so a really, really fun hour number one set up for us here this afternoon.
Yeah, hour number two, we'll have two big guests that you don't want to miss. We'll have Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network at 3:30 in his normal spot. We'll talk everything going on the plains athletically as we inch closer to the start of the 2026-27 academic athletic year. We'll also talk to Aiden Smith, our good friend of the show, that is the brand designer for U.S. Soccer, talk about the game going on tonight in Seattle, the games that have been going on across the three countries in this World Cup tournament, and what is the latest on the eligibility status of some of the USA's best players. So you don't want to miss it, but phone lines are open for the first hour of the show. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. Give your opinion on anything we're talking about. Or if you have something interesting on your own, please do call in. And as well, the text box always open at 334-784-1685.
And it's an article that the SEC released, at least the one that we are looking at here this afternoon, all the way back on April 8th. And it doesn't even feel like that was that long ago yet.
No.
That was the overall excitement of Media Days being announced. And so we wanted to, again, kind of revisit what that's going to look like on our side of things and kind of talk about some of the biggest storylines that are going to be working its way out of Tampa here this year. And on Monday afternoon, or I guess I should say Monday, I don't know if we have the full time slots for who is the morning, who is the afternoon, and I don't believe the captains have been announced for any teams quite yet, but I know that a bunch of the brands are beginning to hype up SEC Media Days. But Monday is going to consist of Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. So Will Stein, Elijah Drinkwitz. It's the first time I've seen Elijah Drinkwitz instead of Eli. But Brent Venables and Josh Heupel. You have some big storylines just coming out of that with the Will Stein era beginning in Lexington. You have Drinkwitz, who's had a couple of really good years, not as good last year, but wanting to make that step up yet again, although their win total has continued to drop. Brent Venables, BV, obviously a lot of excitement making the college football playoff last year. And then Josh Heupel, interesting from the standpoint of, yes, Tennessee and the quarterback battles, which will obviously be arguably the biggest conversation throughout all of Tampa, but even more so from the Auburn perspective, because he knows Alex Golish so well, and those two get to be reunited once again inside of Neyland Stadium early on in the season. And so we'll be able to talk with him about that, the overall excitement that he has, not only for Alex Golish, but for the game in itself. But some of the biggest things looking out for Monday for you, again, with Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee on that Monday, July 20th.
I mean, outside of the, like, pomp and circumstance of SEC Media Days, because this is my first time ever being down there. I know you were down last year. So this won't be your first rodeo, but this will be mine. So that's going to be something I'm looking forward to on Monday. I'm really interested to see kind of the what Will Stein has to say. Mm-hmm. A guy that this is his first time as a head coach in college football and his first media days. And so he'll be down there. I'm very curious to see what kind of the juice he's going to try and bring for that Kentucky program. Also, I cannot wait to hear what the clip of Elijah Drinkwitz is going to be able to it's going to come out of his media appearances, because he's always got a quote somewhere, whether it be about like aliens or like he's kind of taken over that Mike Leach role of the guy that you want to ask the weirdest question to, and he will answer it wholeheartedly.
I'm trying to remember. He was the one, and I may need to text Jacob this because I don't remember, but he was one that started the conversation, started at the podium on Thursday morning, which, again, the last day, and I forgot exactly what he – oh, he said – funny enough, it did not age very well – but it was, you can ask me any football questions, but I will not answer any questions about the Epstein files. That was what he ended Thursday morning. Again, this is 8:15, 8:20 in the morning where everybody is just flat exhausted. And everybody was just kind of like, bro, what?
That's probably why they're getting him out early on a Monday. So everyone can at least be like, okay, he is going to say that. But I'm excited to hear him. I think you said Josh Heupel is another great one as well. And Venables, coming off a college football playoff appearance. I think the quote of the week is either going to come out on Monday or Thursday, in my opinion. And I think there's very high odds it could be like a Venables or a Drinkwitz for sure.
Sure. Do you feel like, Wednesday with Sarkisian, you know, he's pretty outspoken. He could very easily have some Lane Kiffin for LSU. That Thursday slate is going to be really fun. And that is something usually that by no means am I going to say the weaker teams have gone on Thursday. But it feels like over the last couple of years, Thursday was just kind of the slate of what's left. And sure. So the fact of Thursday now feels like the build-up, right? You feel like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, obviously there's a lot of excitement, but Thursday is going to be a whole lot of fun. But sticking with Monday for right now, again, Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee will be the Monday slate, July 20th. There will be two in the morning slate, two in the afternoon, and we're usually able to hear at the podium officially from three of them. One usually goes on the air right at 2, to where we can either tap in with that or we'll just kind of give you the overall updates from that. But we'll be able to talk with all of them before the show each and every day, at least in the big media room or the smaller media rooms, hopefully talk with a couple of the players as well. I'm interested to see if it's Will Stein, if it's going to be Alex Golish, if it's going to be the Ryan Silver field of which new head coach is going to make the most noise, or which one is going to be the one to just kind of get in and get out. So you feel like a lot of the bigger programs, the Georgias with Kirby Smarts, the Kalen DeBoers, I guess Sarkisian, it was a little bit last year, but kind of just the get in, get out. The Saban era of I don't want to be here, don't ask me questions, I'm not going to give you anything that you really ask for. Unless you're asking about Jordan-Hare Stadium, then there will be a nice remark towards that. But interested to see if that could be Will Stein that comes out. I wouldn't imagine that it would be, but interested to see what that could possibly look like.
I mean, yeah, I think that Stein could be the get-in, get-out type. Like, again, this is someone that we can go back and find clips of Alex Golish at American Media Days, mm-hmm. if they have those. Same thing with like Summerall and Silverfield. This is Will Stein's first kind of introduction to the grand stage. I'm sure people in Lexington kind of know him now and kind of what he's about. People in Eugene, people in Louisville when he was playing there. But I'm really curious to see. I think he's going to be a little bit cooler, kind of just like, all right, let's do our required stuff. Let's hype up the program. Let's get the clips for social media so that our brand designer, our social media person, mm-hmm. can make like the video of like for the Jumbotron.
Yeah, our expectation is not just to be here. Yeah,
it's the
coach speak that they can swift in any sort of way.
Exactly. I think that's what you're going to get out of Will Stein.
Yeah, and looking from the Auburn perspective as we make our way to Tuesday before we take our first break. that was kind of the way that Alex Golish talked about his meetings down in Destin, right? When they had those spring meetings talking about the expanded playoff, talking about the scheduling and everything like that, where all 16 coaches and the athletic directors kind of walked in expecting to have answers, and they walked out still searching for the answers that I think many of them were hoping that they could have found. And I think the only true answer was, okay, we're not going to play cupcake games in between our last two Power Four or our last two conference games. Those are now going to be big-time games, or at least bigger games. But Alex Golish was asked about that, and he said, hey, this is my first year here. I am not going to be someone that is overly outspoken, that is overly somebody that stands against the majority of the crowd. He feels like, again, Alex Golish is not necessarily one that tends to blend in when it comes to the personality side of things, but I think he is very wise in picking and choosing when to do that. So I would imagine kind of the same thing for Auburn in media days of maybe not just the get in and get out, because there are still so many questions. It's not the Georgias. It's not the Texas of the world of we know exactly what this team is going to look like. There are so many question marks with this Auburn team, as there are with a couple of the other teams on Tuesday. It's Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Golish, Smart, Beamer, and Clark Lee. Again, we'll continue to dive into the Alex Golish side of things as the show, as the weeks leading up to SEC Media Days goes along. Georgia, again, you don't expect there to be a whole lot. Kirby Smart is almost somebody that gets very frustrated with even just having to attend events like this. It's like, all right, just look at my record. Look at what we're able to do. That's what you should expect to see from us this upcoming year. But Shane Beamer, one of those coaches that is very much on the hot seat, I would say. The recruiting has been ultimately the thing that has saved him, and keeping Dylan Stewart, guys like that, and Lenore Sellers, your captains on the offensive and the defensive side of the football. But if you have another year like you did last year, there could be maybe not the full step of a new coach, but I definitely think it would be even more rumblings if it is not any sort of change. And how wild would that be with that athletic department having to make multiple new hires in a year? But Shane Beamer is a very fun guest at SEC Media Days. He's usually one that comes fired up. He comes with the hype speeches. He comes with all of the pump-ups for his program. And then there's Clark Lee with Vanderbilt, who is coming off exceeding expectations. It would be an understatement with Jared Curtis coming in. The expectation is for him, the five-star, to be the starting quarterback in Nashville. But the win totals, not necessarily respectful from what they did last year. And so what is that team going to look like without Diego Pavia? You feel like those are going to be the biggest questions that get thrown the door's way.
Oh, for sure. Right. You know, looking at this Tuesday slate, you'll have Golish and Smart. Those are two that Auburn fans are going to definitely tune into. Looking at Beamer, I mean, it's very interesting because last year they were able to pin a lot of the blame on the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. with Mike Shula, a guy that didn't really work out there because you lose your OC to Appalachian State that kind of made Lenore Sellers and Lenore Sellers, and then you bring in someone new, kind of a retread, and he doesn't catch on at all and gets fired. Now you bring in Kendall Briles, a guy that can work with whatever system that is going to give Lenoris the best opportunity. I was talking to some South Carolina fans out at the beach, and they kind of indicated that to me as well, is that they are putting all their chips in the middle when it comes to the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because they think they like Beamer as the coach. He just hasn't had a good staff around him, despite the talent that he has on that team.
And injuries last year were a big-time plague as well.
Absolutely.
But that offensive line was horrendous around
Lenore
Sellers. It's been
horrendous for years. I mean, even since the Spencer Rattler and Jake Bentley, for people around this area, the offensive line has all been bad even since then, when Muschamp was the head coach. I'm very interested to see kind of I assume, obviously, you said it, Beamer's going to come in with some juice, some passion. But how much of the questions and what are the conversations going to be around Shane is this your last time coming to hang out with us, or do we believe that you retooled it? That's going to be able to kind of give people an indication starting at Media Days. And then Clark Lee, a guy that, you said the win totals aren't really backing Vanderbilt for the third year in a row. I think with a new quarterback, it definitely will. We'll get on more SEC previews and stuff like that, but I definitely think that is the case. He's another guy where it's like, why am I here? Like, even, you know, I'm at Vanderbilt. You don't want to listen to me anyway, necessarily, in terms of national media. Now that Pavi is gone, the eyes that were on Vanderbilt are probably going to be elsewhere in college football this year. Just calling a spade, not trying to disrespect Vanderbilt. I'm just saying the eyes that Diego Pavia brought them helped them boost them a lot more just because of his antics and his talent as well. He will be a guy that it's not going to be a long press conference. It's going to be get in, answer a couple questions about what I'm going to do at quarterback next year, and then jet back to Nashville.
Monday, the only team that Auburn will play this upcoming year is Josh Heupel in Tennessee. Auburn set for Tuesday, where they play two of those three teams, Georgia and Vanderbilt. You then look at Wednesday and Thursday, and Auburn plays six of the eight teams that will go on Wednesday and Thursday. So Auburn fans will be tuned in all throughout SEC Media Days. That's what we're continuing to discuss here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We'll take our first break here this afternoon, come back and talk about who's expected to make some noise on Wednesday and Thursday, some of the hottest questions, and what will be talked about with Greg Sankey and the entire SEC before we dive into a little bit more drama with the College Sports Act. We're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton. If you want to be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067.
Back here on the Monday edition of On the Line, he is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Hopefully had a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. And you feel like once the 4th of July hits, it turns your focus towards SEC Media Days. And then after SEC Media Days, you feel like that is the unofficial start to the college football season. And then you begin breaking down your team, all of the other teams, and the overall excitement for that. And we will have a lot more excitement for post SEC Media Days. We're going to have our post SEC Media Days quarterback rankings, our team rankings. We still know that we have the Auburn football draft that we do every single yes. year with us, and then our good buddy Jack Hudden. May have Caleb Robertson join us in the studio as well, and also a kind of a SEC fantasy draft, if you will, like a fantasy football that we want to have. Just expecting the talent level for the SEC and kind of drafting the best possible team. And so we still need to figure out the overall rulings and the overall scorings and things like that. But excited to be able to not only dive into our team, the Auburn Tigers, and kind of give you a revamped, more of a knowledge into what the depth chart looks like, because every single time you click on the roster, you remember a new name that's either a freshman or an underclassman or even an upperclassman that you didn't really know about or you may have forgotten a little bit about. And so we will talk about that, but also, again, the SEC as well. But we are breaking down the SEC Media Days schedule. And we went through Monday and Tuesday. The Auburn Tigers are scheduled and set for Tuesday, July 21st. And we mentioned it heading to break that on Wednesday and Thursday, again, four teams every single day, Auburn will play six of them. And so you talk about the dramatics of trying to understand and get as much knowledge as you can from each of those teams. The only teams you will not play are in the state of Texas. Texas A&M and Texas. But you will play Alabama, Florida, Ole Miss on Wednesday, Arkansas, LSU, and Mississippi State on Thursday. And Wednesday, you feel like, is a very interesting day. Kalen DeBoer, John Sumrall, Pete Golding, and Mike Elko. Is it John Sumrall at Florida that takes the headlines? Is it more of the Kalen DeBoer year three playoff expectations recruiting? Or is it Pete Golding that's kind of the year one type of head coach that has all of the drama but was able to keep Trinidad Chambliss and keep at least as much of the roster as he could? And then Mike Elko's kind of just there atop all recruiting headlines throughout, regardless, rather, of where you look.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for certain people, it's going to be interesting with, like, Kalen DeBoer. You're looking as a guy that I think his seat is pretty secure in the eyes of the Alabama the University of Alabama and their administration, Greg Bryan, stuff like that. But in the fans, it's a slight disconnect thinking, hey, if he's to go 9-3 this year, we might have to have conversations, which is, again, a crazy statement because 9-3 here gets an extension right now, which just shows you kind of the, you know, first world problems over in Tuscaloosa.
If you could take 8 wins and place that in the state of Alabama, the differences in happiness versus just despair within the fan bases is
wild.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. And then you have John Summerall, a guy that kind of, I don't want to say lives for the social media clip, but he is a people will be able to get down there and tell whether he is 100% genuine with some of the clips that he has on social media, some of the interviews he does, or if it's all just like a hype tool, a recruiting tool. There, Pete Golding is going to be such an interesting interview because it's either going to be the Belichick kind of Saban of get me out of here, or he's going to have the clip that sets the social media on fire with kind of his role as, even though, like, a villain in the SEC right now, or a villain in college football with the blind transfers, and I wouldn't be surprised if Dabo Swinney comes out with a steel chair, a la WWE. And then Mike Elko, who I really like, I think that he'll be the calmest interview of the day, which is weird to think about coming from Texas A&M, and they're, we've already hit on it, they're interesting traditions.
Yeah, very, very much so. Again, Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday is Alabama, Florida, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Thursday is Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas. We will continue diving into this. We'll talk a little bit about Thursdays and, again, more of the questions that will be asked on SEC Media Day week. And there's no doubt that one of the biggest topics of conversation will be the College Sports Act. And now there's more fuel to the fire than ever. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 or ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. Man, you have a short week last week and you just forget how to radio. I mean, it's just, I mean,
we were talking about on Friday that they're both, I know you did, is check
the
rundown.
Oh, I 100% did. I checked 3 or 4 times what the rundown was going to look like. I also checked the clock 2 or 3 times of like, okay, I got to head up to the studio. Oh, wait, no, I don't. And then 2 o'clock hit, and it was like, I don't really know.
What to do?
What do I do with my hands? I don't really know. It did feel weird, but yeah, now you just forget how to talk. You forget how to do just about anything after the short week. And now you're telling me we have to do a full week this week? I mean, we just celebrate the 4th of July every single weekend. That's all.
Oh yeah,
all we need to do. I'm sure that the fireworks stores and the liquor stores would absolutely love if everybody celebrated the 4th of July. But now you'll just be able to celebrate the 6th of July, hopefully after tonight, with the United States taking on Belgium in the World Cup. We're sitting here watching Portugal and Spain right now, 34 minutes in. No goals scored quite yet. There's been a couple of really good saves by both of the goalies. No way I say that. Okay, no, they didn't shoot it. They had the chance. But we will be able to get another expert insider diving into this United States team. Aiden Smith joining us yet again to start hour number 2 to dive into the United States match, not only tonight, but just the World Cup as a whole and the drama with the red card situation and how the United States was granted essentially a delay so that way Forlaren can play tonight. And so a big-time rule change that happened for the United States. And again, they'll be taking on Belgium in Seattle here coming up in just a couple of hours. But we'll be able to talk a little bit more about that in hour number 2. But we continue on before diving into the Auburn and Alabama Trust, the unity statement that was released. Wanted your thoughts quickly on what Thursday is going to look like for SEC Media Days with Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas. I promise you one thing, though. LSU will not go as planned. Last year, everybody was expecting Lane Kiffin to be the one, the social media troll, the one, because he trolled Hugh Freeze right before SEC Media Days. I believe that was the picture of him on his big boat talking about something with Hugh Freeze and recruiting. But for some reason, And I don't know if this is just the social media factor versus the in-person factor. Not that Lane Kiffin is somebody that openly worries about that. But at least at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin was relatively boring to where you didn't get what you were hoping to get from him. Maybe Baton Rouge, maybe the whiskey, maybe the crawfish. It will change that, and he'll be the focus on Thursday. But regardless, should still be a very fun day. Again, Wednesday and Thursday, Auburn plays six of the eight teams here this year in 2026.
Oh, I'm sure that every single reporter that will be there Wednesday from Oxford, Mississippi, will stay an extra day and be talking with Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah.
With LSU. I'm sure even the Mississippi State people.
Just the bait questions.
So, like, hey, so, like, what did you not like about Oxford? Mm-hmm. Or, like, that'll be, like, Mississippi State answers. Like, asking him to basically just, like, embarrass Ole Miss. And then Ole Miss questions will be something along the lines of, like, stuff I don't even think I could say on the radio because it is that frustration. It's like,
how does it feel, yeah, just to quit on the guys that you
– Yeah.
Also, basically, the questions that – Freeze got last year, which wasn't as bad as we thought that it would be, but all of the golfing questions and everything, that was made a couple of jokes, a couple of questions about that that weren't very funny, but they did get asked those. And so, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what Lane Kiffin gets asked and how much he decides to dive into all of that. Or you wonder if LSU, and I don't mean this as a shot to Ole Miss, it's going to sound like it, but with LSU being a more prominent SEC franchise, essentially, that job, they almost made it seem as if, okay, this job is going to come with a lot more legitimacy. You're not going to be that same person.
I mean, there's a very big possibility. I mean, Lane Kiffin never misses an opportunity to put his foot in his mouth. I mean, it is very much he does it every time. It's like, it's very, very impressive. And he just, you know, he's going to have a quote. I could even see Sarkisian having a quote for sure. Another guy that's kind of become even with a prestigious job like Texas, one of those prestigious in college football, Sark still finds a way to like punch down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And at least with Kiffin, it was a lot of punching up when he was at Ole Miss with where he was relatively naturally of, I'm going to make fun of Alabama. I'm going to make fun of Georgia. I'm going to make fun of LSU. And then even as he got bigger, okay, I'm punching across at Auburn.
Yeah.
And then he started punching down.
It's like, pick on somebody your own size.
Yeah, this is what it's going to be at LSU if he's going to make jokes at Ole Miss. It's like, you're punching down. Like, that's just not very classy of you. Sarkisian lives for punching down. I mean, making fun of Ole Miss, making fun of Texas Tech, making fun of all these programs when, Sark, you have not won a national championship and you know, I don't say – not that he can't this year. He 100% can. I think he's probably one of the preseason favorites to do so.
I'd say so.
But he is going to have some comment that he's going to think is so funny, and it's going to go viral. I could 100% see that happening, whether it's a joke about Texas Tech and Brendan Sorsby or another SEC coach like – or the playoff system or something. He's going to have some kind of quote that the folks over in all over the SEC are going to take – and run with.
Yeah, we're just happy that our quarterback is here legally or whatever the case
right.
may be,
you know,
with Arch Manning. And
we're the most prestigious, you know, like, we, you know, we do the things the right way here
right.
in Texas. No, you know, we're not like other teams in our state. It's like, oh.
Some remark of, yeah, you know what, I actually did think about it, and, you know, Texas Tech gave us a lot of hell saying, we'll schedule you week one. I asked them, and they just haven't followed up with me since, and I can't figure out why. Just something that will be taken
either
with a little bit of a joke or a little bit of a jab that, people will definitely take and run with it.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I was going to say Ryan Silverfield. That'll be the most, like...
Same thing, honestly, for Jeff Lebby. People are kind of there, and Jeff Lebby is a really, really good interview. I got to ask him... I don't remember if he was Thursday or if he was one of the earlier days, but I believe he was there with Texas last year, and everybody always follows Texas, and especially again when Arch Manning was announced. I'm sure he'll be announced again, as all of the quarterbacks will. I'd be very shocked if Byron Brown isn't the quarterback name for the Auburn Tigers joining Golish and staff at Media Days, but Lebby was somebody that nobody really followed. And so I got to ask him three or four questions at the small media room and got to really get some good information. And so that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. By no means am I going to say building a relationship, because I know that he has absolutely no idea who I am, nor should he. But with some of those coaches that are much more brutally honest about their expectations, how difficult the season is, knowing that they're still very much at a building block spot or a building block spot with their team this year, Silverfield, Jeff Lebby are two of those guys that Silverfield maybe not as much because he's in year one, but Jeff Lebby, a very, very good interview if you want to get like legitimate information on what to expect from your team this year.
Yeah, I think Silverfield will be a lot of coach speak of like, yeah, we're fired up to be here. Like it's like a motivational speaker at 8 a.m.
Yeah, where we take it day by day. The scoreboard's not going to just declare the standard that we've built.
Oh, yeah. Silverfield will be the guy that's like, how are y'all doing this morning? No, that's not good enough. I said, how are y'all? Like, that is, I could just see looking at him and seeing some of his media quotes.
Are you guys doing all right? No, you're doing all left. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Dang it.
That sounds like a Hutton quote.
Please, somebody says that. I hope somebody understands that. No, America's Got Talent. Really.
No.
Anyway. Continue.
Anyway, but yeah, he will be the kind of person to do that. I'm excited to hear kind of what these coaches that it's not the major, like, top SEC. Like, and the Kirby Smarts, the guys that have been around the block. It's the guys that are there for the first time or the guys that are embrace the media's role in what they do with Media Day instead of the guys that are just like, man, I just want to go back and coach. I want to go back and recruit.
Somebody just got a text. That somebody was me. On the online text box, which you can always text in at 334-784-1OTL. Again, 334-784-1685. And they said, I got it. I just buzzered you 2 seconds into your comedic act. So thank you for understanding that. I'll show you that over the break. It's
I have it pulled up.
Oh, don't!
I'm not gonna play it now.
It's bad. It's secondhand embarrassment.
Wow.
To a T. It's literally a lady walking on stage asking if everybody's doing all right, and then she says, "No, you're doing all left," and all four judges buzzer you.
Actually, it's not America's Got Talent. It's Britain's
Got Talent.
Was it
Britain's Got Talent? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when the top thing is woman tells a joke on Britain's Got Talent, and it's on the Reddit's r/cringe.
Sure.
I think that tells you all you need to know, but I'll have to we'll look at it over the break for sure. But yeah,
definitely
excited for SEC Media Days, and they're going to be talking a lot about this Save College Sports Act.
Very much so, very much so. And what even is a kilometer? What even is a? Are you doing all left? We'll take a bit of an early break here because we do want to dive into this before we get into hour number two. Auburn and Alabama have made a joint statement on the College Sports Act. A lot of this is following what NCAA President Charlie Baker has made his remarks for backing the College Sports Act, but you know that when Auburn and Alabama come together and agree on something, not only is this big for the state, not only is this very big for the two institutions, this is very big for college football, as they are almost the trendsetters of saying they support what you're trying to do, but we do not support this. We'll talk more about that as we wrap up hour number one here on the Monday edition right after this.
You are on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on this Monday afternoon. And we've teased it for long enough and took a little bit of an early break so we could come back and have a full segment to dive into everything that is going on with the College Sports Act. And this is something that was released maybe a day or so ago, talking about Charlie Baker and the president of the NCAA, and saying how he is basically in favor of the College Sports Act. And for those that Don't remember our conversations. This is the basically the NIL protector. This is the one transfer rule. This was the 5-5, which, funny enough, was almost taken out of the College Sports Act and passed individually because I think people were in very much in agreement of everything that that consisted of. But I think that showed the faults within the College Sports Act. But Charlie Baker said, quote, "What we're trying to achieve is some sort of national framework so that you can have national championships and national competitions in which, for all intents and purposes, everybody's playing by the same set of rules." He says, where was the next quote that I had? He said that, but to simply walk away from something that deals with the number of the most significant challenges that our college sports face at this point in time, in my view, would be a big time mistake. He talked about the folks that created the bipartisan bill, which was really hard to do. And if he loved everything about it, no. But basically saying that if you were to just simply walk away from what is being created, they would make even more problems for college athletics, for college sports, and so he thinks that it needs to be passed. Well, I'm sure a lot of people have seen the news this afternoon because something came across my desk and got the email that was released by Auburn, at least that I saw it. I'm sure Alabama did the exact same way, but it is a joint statement from the University of Alabama and Auburn University regarding the Protect College Sports Act. And it is essentially listing the four main reasons that they don't agree with it, saying that it would create even more chaos than what we already have.
Right. Looking at some of these rules, it would undermine the implementation and enforcement of the rules established under the House settlement, including by narrowing the disclosure and enforcement tools needed to hold every program to the same standards. Effectively, what that means is that it would harm the NCAA or the governing body to accurately have the I'm trying to think of the name of the program that edits at every school, enforcement of the NCAA rules and making sure there's no violations and any sanctions or stuff like that that the that they could self-investigate. That would limit that. Allow for new litigation, undercutting it to create uniformity and consistency in rulemaking and enforcement on a national level because of the inadequate antitrust protection and preemption standards too narrow to displace the current patchwork of the conflicting state laws, while simultaneously creating new forms of liability through expanded rights, private rights of action. Basically, it's because this is saying that the NCAA does a good job at enforcing rules over all 50 states. This new law would cause for if a rule, the 5-for-5 was not passed in Alabama, let's say, but it was in Mississippi, that would create an unfair advantage for schools in Mississippi versus Alabama. This is what they're saying is saying, hey, this doesn't do that, while also having if with private rights of action and kind of the protections that players would get or schools would get could hurt and cause liability. It would establish an expansive federal program reaching into roster decisions, game scheduling, and internal governance to micromanage college athletics. Basically, that could be weaponized with the government effectively going like, hey, you can only have a certain number of players, and so this player has to go, and this player magically can transfer to my alma mater. That's basically what I read that as, and as well as game scheduling of like, there could be political arguments over who gets the big noon kickoff.
Yeah.
That there's no need for the government of the United States of America to be governing when teams kick off and who plays who. I understand it when it's like these two teams have to be in the same conference or these two teams have to play each other, like we've seen with like Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State. I get that, and I completely agree with that side of things. But when it's at a federal level, you can't enforce it all the way. Then advance private equity interests who stand to profit from a redistribution of media rights revenue by pressuring institutions to involuntarily pool media rights in a way that punishes success rather than rewarding it. Effectively, what that means is it would harm the universities so that the ESPNs or the Foxes of the big networks could pressure Alabama and say, hey, you have to join this so that we make more money and don't have to pay you as much because we pay you the same rate that we pay UTSA. And meanwhile, those two programs are on two completely different trajectories. So Auburn and Alabama teamed up together and basically also said like, hey, you know, we want to be able to protect women's sports and the Olympic sports, not just football, but this is what they're saying, combined with this law and this ruling effectively that the Congress wants to do, actually might hurt some of the bigger programs.
Yeah, and you're at the point right now of looking at those bigger programs of Auburn and Alabama. This goes so much beyond just football. I mean, you can look at it from that perspective and understand of, okay, these are two teams, these are two bitter rivals that have to compete over recruiting, that have to compete over not only the record, but the SEC. They play each other every single year, and you literally divide the state. And so the fact of this being so much bigger than football, both of these organizations, both of these institutions, the athletic programs, understand that, okay, we need to be proactive. Rather than doing what we did last time of the NCAA, just kind of putting down all guardrails and going, all right, NIL, do whatever you want to do, and now having to backtrack, it was, okay, let's be proactive about this. We already see some of these big-time issues, and the fact that, again, Auburn and Alabama made a joint statement. This is very big for the state as like a trend and being the trendsetter, because how many times do we talk about it with anything in college sports of, okay, you go ask some Sun Belt coach to make some big praise or make some big remark on the 5-for-5, it's not even going to make national headlines. Yet you ask Kirby Smart, you ask Dabo Swinney, you ask Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman, you go ask one of these big names in college sports to go make a statement, it's taken a lot more legitimately. It's taken with a lot more national headlines, and all of a sudden you see the ball get rolling with a couple of things. In the state of Alabama, you now have your two biggest programs, the ones not only based off of the institution and the students, but also athletically as well, coming together saying these are the issues that we already see. And now you wouldn't be surprised if more schools try and join in, if you have other states that come in and make these sort of rules. But the dramatics of this are just continuing to build, because now you're almost having the smaller quote-unquote teams and these institutions and universities going out and indirectly speaking against the NCAA president and what he liked.
I know, it's crazy, and we will talk so much more about this week, because I have some other thoughts I definitely do want to discuss with y'all about this. So we'll just put a pin in this for now. We'll talk about this so much more throughout the week leading up to SEC Media Days.
Yeah, the biggest voices in sports, again, are continuing and beginning to raise their voice within the works of college athletics. But hour number one in the books. We come back, hour number two, talk a little bit of football instead of football with a special guest.
Following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1067. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Two special guests joining us here in hour number two, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, and a man telling you everything you need to know about the World Cup match here tonight.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you in to hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. He is Trip Upton. I'm Kristen Griffin, having a good time here in the studio. And breaking down everything over the weekend, but more so everything that happened this morning in terms of college athletics. A lot of that was in hour number one, able to dive into NCAA President Charlie Baker backing the College Sports Act and the joint statement that Auburn and Alabama were able to make and made this morning, basically saying we support what you're trying to do, but we do not support this. We understand that something needs to happen, but it just shouldn't look like this. We also talked a lot about the SEC Media Day outline and just kind of reintroducing what that is going to look like as we are 2 weeks away from getting everything started in Tampa, Florida with On the Line, live from Radio Row. Digital Drive is the new official name for it, I guess, with the podcast platforms that have made their way. But really, really excited for that. Excited for all of our coverage on that side of things. Really excited to meet up with a bunch of the guys again and bring everybody some really, really good content for all SEC teams in action, especially the ones that Auburn will be playing in 2026. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always check it out at the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two, we have Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here joining us at 3:30 to talk all things Auburn. May have a couple statements on the joint statement that Auburn and Alabama released, as well as the new track and field head coach that was named as well. But with the United States still in the World Cup, taking on Belgium here this evening, figured there would be no better way to start this afternoon than with a guy who knows a little bit more about it than we do. A few weeks ago, we had the chance to catch up with this guy and talk all things World Cup soccer and U.S. soccer as the countdown to the World Cup had begun. You fast forward to today, and what better time to bring him back here on the line on ESPN 106.7, back on the airwaves here in town as the round of the 16 is here. The United States still standing, and tonight they take on Belgium with a trip to the quarterfinals on the line. And joining us once again is the brand designer for the U.S. Soccer Federation, one of my best friends, Mr. Aiden Smith. Aiden, welcome back, man. Good to hear from you. Hopefully all is well as we continue to count down to a big match here this evening.
No, yeah, I appreciate you having me again. Certainly lots at stake tonight, and it's been super exciting so far.
Yeah, well, let's dive into kind of the big picture before we talk specifics about tonight, if you would be willing to do so. Just your overall takeaway from the World Cup so far. It feels like you continue to see more surprises, more upsets, a couple of them yesterday as well, and just more chaos than we usually do. And so what has stood out most to you when watching these games?
Yeah, so, I mean, to talk about the U.S. specifically for a second, I mean, this is a historical run for us. You look at how we played in the past, and this is the best U.S. team has ever played. I was just making graphics the other day. This is the most wins we've ever had in a World Cup before. Most wins for a head coach for us in the World Cup before. Players are on the brink of tying, if not breaking, goal records for us. It's all across the board, not just one player, but the team is playing really, really well and putting on a great performance for all of our fans. And then when you look at, just the World Cup in general, all the cultures coming here, clashing and showing their traditions, and all the fans coming to all these cities and taking over. I mean, it's been an incredible sight to see. One of my favorites, honestly, is when the Netherlands come to town and you just see the sea of orange. I mean, it's incredible.
And what has that been like for you? So obviously following the United States team, but seeing so many different cultures, and you mentioned them, all of the big cities, and you just feel like it's big-time parties in the street of everybody just combining the cultures all around one thing of football or football. But you mentioned it before we got on air of not only is it a party outside the stadium, it's a party inside the stadium, and you feel like the closest thing that we can kind of reciprocate that to is a Saturday night in the SEC of the best environments in college football.
Yeah, no, I really hope you guys have been watching because, I mean, in terms of environments, this is as close as of an environment as you can get to college football. I mean, the energy with the fans is just next to none. I'll bring up the Netherlands again. They have a bus. Every World Cup, they ship it wherever the games are. So they ship this bus across the Atlantic Ocean for their fans to ride in and ride around. So that has been crazy. Congo has a guy that they're not in the World Cup anymore, but they had a good showing against England the other day in Atlanta. They got a guy in the stands that stands like a statue the entire game. I mean, in what other world do you see that other than college football and FIFA World Cup? So great to see those parallels, and it's just really fun to see the passion that these countries have for their teams.
Aiden, it's been a wild tournament thus far, not only from the knockout stages, but as we've gotten into, you know, from pool play to the knockout stage, it's been fantastic. Talk to me if people that maybe not very soccer-focused and haven't tuned in as much but are now tuning in with the U.S.'s success and the headlines coming out of the Team USA, Belgium stuff. Talk to me about what's going on across the bracket.
Yeah, so the main talking point with one of the main talking points with Belgium tonight is that we actually played them in March. And if you look at that scoreline, it doesn't look too hot. We lost to Belgium 5-2. But the main thing to take away from that match is that the team that was on the field for both sides, to be fair, weren't the official World Cup rosters. Right. Specifically for us, that we were missing Tyler Adams and we were missing Chris Richards as well. Those are respectfully our best midfielder and our best defensive player, if not best players on the teams, on our team in general. No disrespect to the rest of the guys, but they do the dirty work that a lot of people don't see, that gets underappreciated. So you don't see hear their names in the headlines as much, but they're very key players to us that I think are going to be a really big difference in comparison to March's match. And then just yesterday we had Brazil and Norway play each other. Holland scored 2, tied himself for the lead running for the gold boot race. He's got 7 goals so far this tournament. There's 3 players tied. This is one of the tightest gold boot races you've seen. I mean, to have 3 players tied at this stage in the tournament, all 3 teams still in the running for the cup as well. I mean, it's really fun to watch.
And Aiden, we have to talk about the red card situation with the United States, how the dramatic carrying over from the round of 32 to the round of 16 with Falerin's red card that was appealed as of a couple of days ago and now has been either taken away or has been at least delayed. Talk to the people that may not know all of this information other than just the headlines of now he is able to play for the United States this evening and how big of an impact he can make here tonight.
He's been our leading goal scorer this World Cup. I believe he has 4, if I'm not mistaken, which is the most that a player has had in a single World Cup for us. So certainly an impact player. It's been controversial from the start. The red card that was passed out, a lot of people didn't think it should have been a red card. On the field, the referee didn't even give him a warning. Mm-hmm. Typically, you see a warning, a yellow, then a red. Like, he didn't even look at him. And then he was issued the red card after a VAR review, which I think is what the most confusing part for the fan base to watch was. If you look at the photo, it certainly looks bad. But when you watch it in replay, typically you see red cards passed out when, you know, someone makes a bad challenge on a player. Balogun wasn't actually the player challenging the Bosnian player. The Bosnian player came into his throw, and then like his foot ended up in his path. So a really hard decision to make in that moment. Obviously, he was issued the red, and then now the controversy is that it has been hasn't been repealed. It's been delayed, so he'll still serve that 1-game ban later on within the year. But essentially, you know, doing that during a tournament like this, mm-hmm, is kind of unprecedented. You've never really seen it before. Now, with that said, FIFA did do the same thing for Cristiano Ronaldo. He got a 3-match suspension before the World Cup started that would have affected his World Cup play. So they've delayed it. They delayed his suspension as well. So it's something that FIFA has done, but doing it in the middle of a tournament is what's controversial. And then obviously seemingly having the government involved with it is kind of odd, kind of fishy. But one thing I will say from the U.S. soccer side of things is that our organization isn't actually tied to United States government or the White House. We're a nonprofit, so it's not like we tucked our tails and then like called the White House or anything, right?
Sure,
I feel like that happened on its own thing without any conversations. Like from a corporate structure, there's no connection there. All of our money comes from donors and or sponsors.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's not the fact of you guys were upset and the United States team was upset and it was like, okay, let's call the president and get him to make a phone call for us so that way he can be the middleman. But that's kind of the way that the media has taken and run with it.
I feel like that's the perspective that a lot of people have, and sure. I hate that. I hate that for the players because, you know, regardless of what happens tonight, say we win, that's going to be the only headline, is that the U.S. cheats all this garbage, and it's like it's such a disservice to our players in the tournament that they've had so far. You know, Balogun, he's certainly been a star for us, but he hasn't been the only star. There's been a lot of players that have stepped up, and you know, he has a lot of exciting touches. Most of the time he touches the ball, it's really exciting, but that's mainly just because he's our forward. So he's our attacking forward. So naturally he's going to be in goal scoring position every time he touches the ball. Right. There's plenty of players to look out for tonight. And I just hope everyone can appreciate the game, being played outside of this, this controversy.
Aiden Smith with U.S. Soccer here joining us on the phone lines. And we know the World Cup being hosted in North America with Canada, the United States, and Mexico. The United States is now the only host nation remaining in the tournament. What do you think that that means for not only the U.S. team, but just the United States as a whole, as you feel like they have that much more to represent? And then do you think there's any added pressure to that, or do you think that just builds the overall excitement knowing that everything that they're going to do is on their home soil from here on out, and continuing to do that in front of their home crowd?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, shout out to Canada and Mexico, respectfully. I mean, we all three of us made it to the same point in the tournament in the round of 16. So really great showing from all the host nations. And then, you know, hopefully we, the U.S., we can put on a great show and then continue to fight and represent these countries well. I know there's a lot, we were all rooting for each other going into it. So, should we win tonight, it would be as far as we've ever gone since like the modern age. I think we technically reached the semifinals in like 1930. So it's like, all right, take that for what it is.
Sure. Right.
to get a win here tonight would be massive for the sport of soccer and the culture here that's growing.
Yeah, for sure, Aiden. You know, I want to ask about the defense, because the goal scoring has been such a big part of USA's strategy throughout the tournament, but the defense has been just as phenomenal, only allowing 4 goals the entire tournament, multiple clean sheets already achieved. Who are some impact players that you've seen on this defense that have allowed the goalie to have an easy job?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just talking about Chris Richards earlier. He's our best defender, the one player we were missing. Well, not the one player we're missing, but one of the main players we're missing when we played Belgium the first time a few months ago. He's had an incredible tournament. I think there was a stat that came out after the very first game. He completed 83 of all 83 passes. Wow. Against Paraguay. So 100% of his passes he completed. And then after the second game, I think he missed like 4. So his passing percentage was like 97%. So clearly this guy's locked in. He's definitely a key part of this defense. And then there's also Tim Ream. He's our captain. He was catching a lot of flack before the tournament, considering he's 38 years old. A lot of people were questioning his speed, his agility at this stage, but he's playing like this is his last World Cup, because, you know, at the end of the day it is. And he's put on a really good show. So happy that he was able to shut up the haters and lead this team and this defense specifically to a really good performance.
And I know that Christian Pulisic was one of those guys that was dealing with a little bit of injury going into, or maybe not going into the season, but after the first game. I know he was held out for a game and was somebody that was obviously drawing some big time headlines. Do we have an official report on him? Is he good to go? Is he back where the United States would like him to be?
I think we definitely feel really confident in him. I mean, we saw him play second half of the match against Turkey, and then he had a full game of play against Bosnia last round, not to mention he was one of 10 players left after that red card, right? So he was playing extra hard, extra, you know, aggressive, making sure that we were still in the game. At the end of the day, we're lucky to even playing this game after being down a man that for 35 minutes, you know what I mean? So for all of our players to put on that performance, including Pulisic, yeah, I think it definitely gives us faith in where his health is at the moment. I think he's still looking for his big moment. He's had an assist or two, if I'm not mistaken, but he hasn't had his goal yet. So definitely a guy to look out for here today. I think he's still looking for his big moment, his big spotlight.
Aiden Smith, the brand designer for Team USA, both men's and women's soccer, the entire U.S. Soccer Federation. I want to talk to you about the coaching of this squad with Mauricio Pochettino for the Americans. He's been this is his first cup as the head coach of Team USA. Talk to me about his leadership and what he brings to this squad.
I mean, you certainly see our team playing at just a different level. I mean, this is a caliber of coach that U.S. soccer, quite frankly, just hasn't had a part of their squad before. I mean, you look at his coaching history. He's coached at places like Tottenham. He's coached at organizations like PSG. He's coached high caliber players at those organizations. If I'm not mistaken, Neymar and Mbappe and Messi were at PSG when he was, if I'm not mistaken. So, even if it wasn't them, it was, players of those caliber, and to bring that experience to U.S. soccer and to have him develop our players with those type of expectations, I think certainly has made us a formidable team to be worried about. And so this game tonight is certainly going to prove, where we actually are with that. Because at the end of the day, we've played really well, but we haven't played a team out of Belgium's caliber yet. Certainly think we can put on a show. So tonight is the time that we can prove that we can compete with the big teams.
When dealing with, or just when looking at the social media side of things, have we reached the point as the United States of kind of the expectations being changed from kind of just the happy to be here? This is, like what you're saying, a historic type of run. But has that mentality sort of changed to, okay, we're now expecting to get to the quarterfinals. We're expecting to continue to make a little bit of noise. And obviously wins continue to build that as well. But do you think tonight is one of those times of, okay, we're expecting now with this United States team to make that next step?
I think the players have certainly always had that expectation from themselves. I think the people closest to this program have always known that these players have that capability in them. The fans, I'm not sure, actually saw it yet until they started to play in these matches these past couple of weeks. And now that we're seeing it, it's more than just hope. It's I don't know that I call it expectation, but I think we know we can do some damage against this Belgium team. At the end of the day, getting to the round of 16, I think, is what a lot of people wanted to see out of this team before the World Cup. And then if we were to manage to get this match, that would be a huge win for the progression of not just U.S. soccer as an organization, but soccer as a sport in this country. So a lot riding on the shoulders of these players today. They got a lot of pressure, but I think they're built for it after seeing these past few matches.
And as someone that's been working inside U.S. soccer, been working with this team, what's been the excitement level like? What's been the growth that you've continued to see around this team compared to where it was maybe a month ago? You mentioned getting to that point now where you've quote-unquote met the expectations, but what is the energy? What is the overall excitement level that the United States fans are going to feel throughout the country, but again in Seattle, Washington, here in just a couple of hours?
Yeah, I think it's just been really special to see everyone come together and come behind these guys. After being a part of it, we're all building for it. And there was a lot of work that came into building for this tournament. And once the tournament started, there's only so much more you can prep at this point, right? So from my perspective, I'm really just enjoying seeing everybody enjoy these players and their personalities the way that I've seen in the past couple of months. Sometimes... the World Cup is the biggest tournament in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But once it's over, a lot of people lose sight of these players. So happy that they can make those connections with our fans now so that they can keep up with them in future tournaments.
No doubt. And final question for you before we let you get out of here. Again, appreciate your time here this afternoon. But rather than just asking what the United States needs to do to win, because the obvious answer is, well, score more goals and don't let Belgium score as many goals. But if there was a strategy on the pitch that needs to happen tonight for when the final whistle blows, what needs to go right for the United States tonight to feel good about where they're at if they weren't able to look up at the scoreboard?
Yeah, I think we just need to attack hard. I think a lot of teams like to play it safe and keep possession and wait for the perfect moment. But for us at this stage, I feel like you go right at them. You do something that's not really expected of us, right? I feel like a lot of people expect us kind of to just like ride the game, play it safe, see what the pace of play is. I want us to set the pace of play. We need to play our game and we need to show them what we're about. And not let them control the pace of the game. So that's what I expect going into this. I think we can control the pace of the game and make it ours and have them play to our advantages.
The United States and Belgium, 7 p.m. on Fox here, Central Time, Seattle, Washington, the destination that's going to be rock.
Yeah, man, super excited.
Hopefully again soon, being able to preview yet another match.
Yeah, man, super excited to see what happens tonight. Big moment for our organization and for all the fans here, Buffs. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I know that you have some, again, the game day graphics and the goal graphics. So tell everybody where they need to go to keep up with all of your work as well throughout not only this tournament, but throughout all of your coverage with U.S. Soccer.
Yeah, so our creative team does all things on social media and also on our website. So if you easiest access, obviously social media. So go to @USMNT on Twitter, Instagram, all the above, and you'll see all of our match day coverage, not just during the game, but like during practice and then behind the scenes, getting to know our players. So definitely excited to see what we do.
Aiden Smith of the U.S. Soccer Federation, again, doing all sorts of the graphics for the men's and the women's team, but again, most notably with the World Cup team here throughout the past couple of weeks. And again, here this evening, joining us on the phone lines, one of my best buddies growing up, still is one of my best buddies. And so, so cool to see everything that he is able to do and greatly appreciate his time here this afternoon. We will take a break. We'll come back and quickly wrap up this conversation before we flip back over to the Auburn side of things with Jacob Hillman. He joins us at the bottom of the hour, but we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton. If you want to be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067.
Back here on ESPN 106.7, he is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Appreciate Aiden Smith for joining us as well, giving us everything we need to know for the United States and Belgium here this evening on U.S. soil, which you feel like can't be stated enough. Currently watching Portugal and Spain in Dallas right now. 65 minutes in, still no score. And so maybe
nil-nil.
The United States hoping that theirs wouldn't complain if it was less stressful, if it was more stress-free than this one is right here. But greatly appreciate his time and for everything that he does for, again, U.S. soccer. It's so cool being able to see what he's able to put on. And you go look at their game day graphics. That's him and his team, which is really, really cool to be able to see. Makes me feel old. Being able to watch my buddies grow up and enjoy their life.
Hey, you know what? You got to always root for the homies and excited that he's able to do that for you. And get us some insight on the hottest team in American sports right now.
Yeah, the United States and Belgium, 7 p.m. here this evening. We'll talk more about that to wrap up the show. Maybe get some comments from Mr. Jacob Hillman as he joins us when we come back. We'll talk SEC Media Days a little bit. We'll talk the College Sports Act, maybe some track and field news as a new head coach in there as well. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us when we come back.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
More minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us and spending a little time here with us on this Monday afternoon. Having a really fun time in the studio. Again, appreciate Aiden Smith of the U.S. Soccer Federation for taking the time to join us, telling us everything we need to know about the United States World Cup game here this evening. And now we bring it a little bit closer to home with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us every single Monday at 3:30. Mr. Hillman, are you a World Cup fan? I feel like everybody kind of becomes one once you get into this spot, but are you somebody that keeps up with all of the matches?
Yeah, absolutely, especially when the United States is in the spot that it's in and kind of all the drama that's going on around it. It's hard not to be just obsessed with the theater that it's become. And obviously with us hosting it and the country's 250th birthday being this weekend, I feel like if you're not locked in right now, I mean, come on, what are you doing? I'm so pumped for tonight's game. And my word, if the United States is to advance past this round, I think it is just going to be even that much more of a big deal. Because, I mean, I don't know the history of it, but when was the last time the U.S. made it to a quarterfinal in the World Cup? It's probably been quite some time. So I'm very excited for that. And hope that the U.S. can advance.
Yeah, I believe Aiden, again, who we just got done talking to, one of my best friends growing up, is the lead the brand designer for U.S. soccer, which is really cool. I believe he said 1934. So, been quite some time and been longer than just about anybody that would be listening to this radio station here this afternoon would be able to remember. If not, I would love to be able to meet you if that were the case. But sure. Even again, before the World Cup got started, I mean, the road to 26 was ultimately kind of like the SEC media days is for college football, right? It's kind of the kickstart. The road to 26 felt like just that. And the fact that Auburn, yet again, it feels like it was forever ago, but just a short month ago, Auburn was able to have the GOAT, Lionel Messi, inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, not only step foot, but to score, also have an assist in there as well. And now you're seeing what he's doing on the world's biggest stage. You feel like it's a very, very easy get-out-of-jail-free card if you had not paid too much attention to soccer yet to have that sort of introduction.
Well, you mentioned it, and for it to kind of all kick off and begin here at Auburn and the crowd of across the Southeast and everywhere else that some of those friendlies were held, it was just so cool to be a part of that and have the defending world champions be here at Jordan-Hare Stadium on campus. And their final match before the real deal began was here. And of course, Messi and Haaland and Kane, they're all going for the golden boot now. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, they are all three just playing out of this world, no pun intended. Just like it's kind of hard to imagine. And again, I'm not this soccer diehard or this historian with the World Cup or anything, but it just feels like this tournament has been as good as advertised and as good as any in our lifetimes. And I mean, obviously we're on the younger side. I'm 26. You guys are right around my age as well. But I mean, I don't remember a World Cup that's been as exciting and has delivered in the aspect like this one has so far.
Yeah, it's that, and then being again on U.S. soil or being in North America, but the fact now that the United States is the final hosting team that is still playing, and again, the game tonight up in Seattle, you know the place is going to be rocking. But yeah, it feels like it's been as advertised, almost feels a little bit March Madness-esque from the 2010s of the upsets and the big giants going down early in the tournament. You had another one go down yesterday afternoon in Brazil. You mentioned Haaland, who's tied for the golden boot right now, having an incredible run, taking Norway further than they've ever been. And so really, really cool to see, again, Portugal and Spain tied in the 75th minute, 0-0 right now. But really, really excited for the United States and Belgium here this evening. But do want to dive into, again, what we mentioned the World Cup is to the road to 26, what college football is with SEC Media Days getting started here in just 2 weeks. And it's wild to think that summer has flown by this quickly. And we started the show talking about Alex Golish and Auburn's SEC Media Day presence will be felt on Tuesday and how exciting that is just to know that, again, just in a couple of short weeks, you feel like it's the unofficial start of college football season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And whenever we see Coach Golish go up there and take the podium for really the first time as the Auburn head coach, not in on Auburn's campus like he did when he was introduced, that's always going to be a cool moment just for that head coach to go up there and do that and field questions and have their monologue as well. And I'll be interested to just hear how he continues to describe how things have been going, because between spring practice, between just kind of the recruiting cycle that has been going on has been so successful. I think there's so many positives for him to point towards and to really highlight for this Auburn program. And of course, it's going to be all about, let's see how the Tigers can deliver this upcoming season. And I'll be interested to hear how he kind of dives into that and gets into, all right, this is what's ahead of us, and this is how we're going to attack it. Just having heard Coach Golish a few times now speak, listen, it's no nonsense. Let's get to work and let's do this. And he's going to treat everything that he does like that. So I expect SEC Media Days to be no different.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Obviously, Coach Golish's press conferences and quotes and statements, as well as the players for Auburn, will be really picked apart and listened to by all the Auburn fans. Are there any other coaches or programs that you're interested in hearing from coming out of Tampa?
I think it's obvious where you go to the whole Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, LSU saga, mm-hmm. but I would point towards Pete Golding as well for Ole Miss. I mean, the Rebels make their first college football playoff, really their first major. I mean, look, they never won an SEC championship or anything like that prior to that in the last 60 years or so. So it was their first time back in the national spotlight. And then obviously Lane Kiffin goes to LSU. So I would be very interested, especially with Auburn being or going to Ole Miss for the first time in a few years. I'm really interested to hear what Pete Golding has to say. Like I said, Lane Kiffin as well is a very crucial one. And just kind of hearing how they are handling those situations, because for Coach Golding, it's one thing where he coached in the playoff. Like he's got a really good handle on that program and that team. And then obviously Lane Kiffin going to LSU, where they're going to give him every single resource possible. And he's also dealing with so much drama, and the fact that they open SEC play against each other, I think is so fascinating, and will be one of the games of the year, obviously. And then other than that, I would say, obviously, with the Florida John Sumrall stuff and everything that's gone to that, I'm interested to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I don't want to put you in a bad spot of acting as if you're speaking for Golish or again, speaking out of line for yourself, but do you feel like this year is a little bit different than most SEC Media Days just because there are so many first-year head coaches? You feel like there's the blend of the first-year head coaches and then the guys that feel ultimate security, but then there's a couple that are right in that spot of, okay, this year needs to be the year, talking again like the Shane Beamers, the Clark Lees of the world, of there is a little bit more pressure on the winning games. I mean, you feel like this is one of the first SEC Media Days where you feel like there are so many different coaches that can be put into so many different categories.
It is interesting because, I mean, listen, I think everyone would kind of point towards Kirby Smart as the elder statesman mm-hmm. in the room now, and Steve Sarkisian is there as well, who's had a lot of success at Texas. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't have the Nick Saban of the world there anymore. So, kind of like, who is it? Obviously, Texas A&M has had a lot of success over the last couple of years with Mike Elko. And then you kind of point towards Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, who's had some success as well. Brent Venables brings Oklahoma to the playoffs. So you have guys that have had success, and they're in a good spot. But to your point, there's not just this, I guess, lineage of head coaches where it's, all right, this guy has been there for 5+ years and is going nowhere anytime soon. That's not the case anymore, other than probably Kirby Smart mm-hmm. And maybe Steve Sarkisian. So it's really a case of, like you said, of learning about these coaches and how they have been really maneuvering this offseason. Obviously, these last few offseasons have changed over time with the NIL and the transfer portal and everything else that has gone into taking over a new football or your new to you football program in the SEC. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to hear. I think, like you said, from those guys that are either in their first year, whether that's as an SEC head coach, kind of like an Alex Golish or John Sumrall, or new to their school like Lane Kiffin.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. And it's not too often that we get to discuss Auburn and Alabama agreeing on anything. And we know that during SEC Media Days, a lot of the conversation is going to be the nine-game schedule, college football playoff expansion, a lot of what was not resolved in Destin a few weeks ago. But some new surfacing stuff that's going to take headlines, at least for the near future, with Auburn and Alabama making a joint statement on the College Sports Act, something that that President Charlie Baker basically agreed with and said, well, it's not perfect. We cannot back away from this. Auburn and Alabama came together again as the state of Alabama saying, okay, we understand that this needs to be made, but it's not going to look like this. What were your thoughts when this was released and the way that this can work throughout college athletics is Auburn and Alabama and the state of Alabama can almost be that trendsetter of what everybody's looking for in the future?
Yeah, it very much falls in line with what the Big Ten and the SEC, that they also had a joint statement in the midst of kind of the College World Series about half a month ago that they made a very similar comment of, hey, look, this we're getting there. We're going in the right direction, but these are the things that are probably not going to work out if we follow through with them. And like you said, the two schools here in Alabama, Auburn University, University of Alabama, regardless of what you think of either one, they are two of the preeminent institutions in this nation, especially when it comes to college athletics. Well, some of the greatest games of all time have been Iron Bowls, and it is, in my opinion, the best rivalry in the nation and in sports. So I just think that it's important for this to be done correctly and done the right way. Like, obviously, to what you're saying, what Charlie Baker was saying, is like, hey, look, like we need feedback, and mm-hmm. that was part of the statement between the Big Ten and the SEC was there was a big conference call, and it was a lot of the senators talking and less of the athletic directors and presidents being able to give their feedback. And I think that's part of this is, hey, look, this is how we want to go about it, and this is how we think it should be solved. And, of course, there's going to be different opinions about that. But I'm very interested to see where this goes and the direction it's taken, just because it's kind of difficult. We've obviously seen a lot more legal battles over the last 5 years with college athletics than we've ever seen, but none would be as impactful as this one. So very important for this one to be done the right way and with a lot of feedback, a lot of research, and a lot of foresight as well.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Switching gears to some of the latest news coming out of Auburn Athletics in the track and field program as a new head coach has been named for the Auburn Tigers. Tell me a little bit about him and what he brings to this Tiger program.
Yeah, Ken Hardin. I think this was an extremely easy choice and a layup for John Cohen and the rest of the administration to make to just elevate Coach Hardin into the head coaching role. Like, he's 8-time assistant coach of the year. So, and that's 4 times at Auburn. And that's because of the sprints teams that he has developed and coached to national championships and all American honors and soon to be Olympians. Like Jacoby Tharp, for example, he announced that he will be signing a professional contract. He will not be returning to Auburn next year after he won yet another national championship and set the world record in the 110-meter hurdle. So expect to see him in 2028 in the LA Olympics. You know, we were talking about the World Cup earlier, and that's going to be a really cool thing to have in the United States as well, is the 2028 Olympics. And someone like Jacoby Tharp is going to be one of the headliners mm-hmm. for the United States. And the part of that is because of the development that he's been able to undergo with Coach Hardin. And it's going to be really, really exciting. He's someone that has competed as well at the highest of levels, and really, really excited to see him help continue the trajectory that this program is on, because things have only gone up. Like, a lot of credit to Leroy Burrell for him really elevating the program to what it is now, and Coach Hardin has a chance to really take that by the horns and run with it.
Yeah, being able to see not only the programs take a big step up, but then the players, once they graduate, once they decide to pursue professional careers, being able to have the Auburn logo forever next to their name, forever in their bio is really, really cool. You mentioned Jacoby Tharp, Jackson Coyvan getting his professional start as well at the John Deere Classic. You know that he's going to make a lot of noise, and so seeing the individuals continue to rise is really, really exciting for Auburn University and Auburn Athletics as a whole. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn the Auburn Sports Network here with us. You could be with the Auburn Athletics. Just tell me what sport you want to be, and I'll happily start plugging it on that side of things. But Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. Appreciate your time as always, my friend. Tell everybody where they can keep up with any sort of action. I know they're still working with the Tiger or the Talking Tigers podcast, and before we know it, we're going to be back at Baumhauer's. We're going to be getting everything going here real soon.
You're exactly right. So follow us at AU Sports Network. Today, Andy released his Talking Tigers podcast with Jacoby Tharp. So a lot of talk about his future and what he hopes to accomplish in his professional career and in his Olympiad career. So excited to see him go and do that. And it was a great conversation between Jacoby and Andy on the Talking Tigers podcast. Go watch that on War Eagle Plus or listen on the War Eagle Plus content network. And like you said, we're getting there. As soon as August gets around, we'll be able to talk about Tiger Talk and when that'll be and where that'll be headlined and who will be joining us. But we're excited for SEC Media Days coming up next week and hope to hear a lot from the coaches and the players that go and represent the Tigers.
Yeah, man, sounds good. We're looking forward to it. We never wish summer away, but it feels like the days continue to get faster and faster. And if the biggest problem about that is college football gets closer and closer, then I guess that's a world I'm okay living in.
Well, it's one of those things where, look, it's like you said, the summers are shorter and shorter. I mean, partially because Auburn is hosting an event like the Road to 26 when you bring Argentina in and Super Regionals in baseball. So that's not something that I can ever complain about, and I never will. So, I'm going to enjoy the rest of this month with no events, and then we're going to dive right into it when Auburn soccer, Auburn volleyball get back underway, and then obviously Auburn football on September the 5th.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to all of your coverage on the Auburn Sports Network, Mr. Hillman. We appreciate your time. We look forward to talking to you again next Monday.
Talk to you guys then. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us again every single Monday at 3:30, giving all of his insight, giving all of his expertise and knowledge for everything going on, even when there's nothing going on around the Auburn athletic side of things. Currently, as we speak, always love being able to speak with him. We'll take a break. We'll come back and quickly wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Monday edition of the show here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. A fun conversational hour number one and an interview highlighted hour number two, and wouldn't want it any other way. Being able to dive into SEC Media Days, what that looks like, a little bit of the exciting reminder. Also the joint article that was released, the joint statement that was released for Auburn and Alabama regarding the College Sports Act. We had Aiden Smith of the U.S. Soccer Federation, again, a good buddy of mine that works with the United States World Cup team, and the excitement that is being built for tonight's game against Belgium in Seattle, Washington, 7 o'clock on Fox, where you can watch that one. I know that the entire country is very, very excited for that. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network to wrap up and be our closer here this afternoon. Spain just took the lead 1-0 on Portugal in the 92nd minute. So I don't know if that's considered a big upset.
I mean, both these teams it's really, really good.
It's a giant going down regardless, you feel like.
Yes, but I think Spain was the favorite coming into the tournament, so I think this isn't really an upset, but did you watch any of the Mexico-England game last night?
It felt like a Pac-10 or Pac-12 after dark. I mean, just offense and offense, and why get stops when you can just score every time?
Or just get penalties and cards every single play. I mean, 11 minutes of stoppage time in the second half.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's the first time I've ever seen double digits on there. That's impressive.
Yeah, you're at 6 minutes right now, and they're already 2 minutes in. And so we'll be able to talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. Hopefully a United States win over Belgium as well. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on the line 2-4 every single day. And we are back tomorrow. And sports are always better with an opinion, whether you love them.